Inch. An OT. Kicking the game winner. Well, it's Sunday. We're in the Lord's house. Great place to be. Let's pray and get into God's word tonight and see what he has. Lord, thank you for being our God. Just your goodness, your grace, just your love that's overflowing, Lord. Your agape love for us, your self-sacrificial love, Lord. And I wish I was more grateful at times, God. I confess, at times I'm not. But right now I want to be, Lord. And just purify our hearts. Just make us new right now, Lord. Just as we dive into your word and you speak through me, just touch your people's hearts. So we praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I just had a few thoughts running around in this crazy head here. Just want to share a few scriptures with you. I was really blessed by last week's study, exhortation, encouragement by Brandon, and kind of feeding off of that still tonight. So last week he taught on Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 when Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you know I'll give you rest." He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And, you know, I think we're all got our anxieties and our burdens, you know, whatever it may be and what you're going through in life right now. Even though I'm a pastor, I'm not immune to those things. You know, I've been kind of anxious lately. I'm kind of burdened. I've been living here for 2 months and I have no job and 4 mouths to feed, but God has been faithful. But I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to sit up here and say, "Yeah, man, things been great, you know, no stress whatsoever." Yeah, I've been anxious. I've been a little bit burdened, and God's been good, and he's working some things out right now. But this really spoke to me. Just, it's what I needed to hear last week and what I need to continue to hear. And I really want to focus on just that last verse there. It says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You know, learning just to take on the Lord's burden. You know, his burden is so light. Like I said, I got so many burdens right now. And learning to just take those burdens off and cast them upon the Lord and taking his burden upon us, which is so light. God doesn't ask much of us, does he? Does he really ask a lot of us? No. When you look at scripture, when you really look at what he says, he said, "Love me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. And I'll take care of the rest." That's what his word says. He says, just do that. That's my burden. Just follow me with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And, you know, life is tough, and there's always these anxieties and burdens that come up, but we got to learn to just place those things upon the Lord. As I said this morning, I can be such a worry wart at times, just a fat, fat wart, worry wart. You know, sometimes I need the Lord to just burn off that wart. That's what they do. You know, you ever have warts burnt off at the doctor? They take that CO2. You can do it with yourself, by yourself, with dry ice. And you just pop that thing on there and just burn that off. And I need a good dosing of some CO2, the Holy Spirit, man. Just the Lord to burn off all those worry warts and the burdens of life. So there's some wonderful, I mean, you read through Genesis through Revelation. There's so many great stories that can explain this verse, can really emphasize this verse, and we can draw application out of. I was thinking of the children of Israel. Okay, turn to Exodus. Actually, you know what? Yeah, turn to Exodus 13. I'm kind of all over tonight. Exodus 13. You guys know the story. You talk about anxiety. You talk about burdens. Here's the children of Israel. You know, the Lord is releasing them from bondage in Egypt. And, you know, he's promising them that, hey, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I'll be with you every step of the way. But there is some anxiety there. I mean, they leave Egypt and all that's before them is this huge wilderness. There's nothing out there. It's desert. You know, and they're about to wander, camp out here. It's hot. There's no food. There's no water. And it's like, okay, Lord. He says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. But let me tell you, I guarantee you there were some anxious hearts. There was some burden there saying, okay, Lord, all right. And we'll see how the Lord really does keep his promise, especially here in chapter 14. We'll start in chapter 13 and verse 17. But here the children of Israel are, their backs are literally not against, back up against the wall, but up against the Red Sea here. And you got Pharaoh and, you know, 600 of his chariots and thousands of men that are coming after the children of Israel. And here's this huge Red Sea right in front of them. There's no place they can go. You know, and Pharaoh is coming down. He's breathing down their necks. There's going to be some anxiety there. There's going to be some burden there. Like, okay, what in the world is going to happen, Lord? Either you're going to show up and take care of this, or we're going to be annihilated. And we're going to see what happens here. This is just such an encouraging story that God is in control. He'll take care of it. He will do the impossible. I talked about it a few weeks back in Sunday study of how he's working upstream. Okay, he's working miles upstream. We may not even see it, but he's working on our behalf here. Look at this, chapter Exodus 13, starting in verse 17, it says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. If you have a map in the Bible, you can see that would have been the quickest way to go. Just boom, go right through the Philistines' land. You'll be right into Canaan, right into Israel. The Lord says, nope, I don't want them going through the Philistines. Lest, you know, they're going to have to make war here and they get scared and they flee back to Egypt. But that was the easiest way to go. But the Lord says, nope, you guys are going to go to the long way. You're going to go through this wilderness and I will keep my word. It says, verse 18, so God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. People often say, God's got me wandering in the wilderness. Well, these people were literally wandering in the wilderness. Okay, I think we have it pretty well off, all of us. Hawaii Kai is not the wilderness. I'll tell you that right now. It's Egypt. You know, we got everything we need. You know, but he says, I'm going to lead you through the wilderness. And it says, verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. So they kept the promise to Joseph, the prophecy, and his bones were taken up. So they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. So look, the Lord has already shown himself strong. Again, it would be extremely hot out there. And there is that huge cloud that would cover the whole encampment of Israel. There were a million, 2 million people that came out of Egypt. And here he is, putting this protective cloud, giving them shade, so they wouldn't get sunburned and wore out there and drop dead like flies. And we see even at night, you know, they can't see where they're going. It's pitch black out there, you know. There he is at night, this pillar of fire just leading them, the Lord keeping his word. And this is verse 22, he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Chapter 14, now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Pi-Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. So the Lord's saying, guys, we're going to camp out here. Get your s'mores ready. You know, great view right before the sea here. I want you guys to camp out, to relax here right before the sea. And it says, verse 3, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. So even Pharaoh knew. He was like, I know that place. I know that wilderness. I know that land. I know what those people are going to start thinking. There will be some anxiety in their hearts. There will be a burden there, thinking, what's going to happen to us? And we see verse 4, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, the Lord says, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Now, if I was Moses, I would be like, what, Lord? are you serious right now? I mean, are you really going to bring Pharaoh and all his chariots and all his soldiers? Do you see where we are right now, Lord? There's no place else we can go. You know, well, we're stuck here. And it's just neat to see how God is like, you guys need to trust in me right now. There's no, I got you right where I want you. And that's where I'm at right now. Just trusting in the Lord. Yeah, there's times in your life there's nowhere you can go but to look up to the Lord and say, okay, Lord. And guess what? That's exactly where God wants you. That is exactly where he wants you. It can be tough. It can be hard. But God wants that. And he is totally testing their faith, saying, hey, you guys throw your anxieties upon me. You throw your burdens upon me and watch me do the impossible. And he says that you may know that I am the Lord, that I am Yahweh, that I am the living God. And what did they do? It says, and they did so. And now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So God's plan is in action here. So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots. These were the best. These were the ones that were parked in the garage. These ones were shined up. They had the armor all on it. These were the special chariots, okay? And back then, chariots were like tanks. You know, I can't imagine 600 tanks rolling up. I don't think we had that many in the Iraq war. I'm not sure in the invasion, but can you imagine 600 chariots, choice chariots coming for you? It says, in all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. These guys are smoking. They're coming out. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So far, they're doing pretty good. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh. His horsemen and his army overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. So they caught up to the children of Israel. Here they are, camping out. And the Egyptians have arrived. Uh-oh. I'll tell you right now, anxiety is at an all-time high. Lord, I see them. They're here. Lord, you're taking us out of bondage, but now they're right on our backs. They're breathing down our throats. And when Pharaoh drew near the children of Israel, what did they do? It says they lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. Wow. They were right there. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? That's doubt right there, isn't it? I mean, they're like totally lacking faith. These burdens, these anxieties, the Egyptians breathing down their throats have gotten to them. And they're like, Moses, what's going on? What was there no graves in Egypt? Is that why you brought us out here? So that they might slaughter us right here? What's the deal here? God, where are you? Are you working? Man, I'm anxious, Lord. My blood pressure's up. This is not looking good. And they're questioning the Lord. Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Wow. I don't know how many days this was into their journey, but it's just boom, right away. They're like, we want to go back. We can't handle these anxieties, these burdens. And I'll tell you, they're going to come. Satan's going to throw them at you. But there's no turning back. The Lord says, the man's hand who is to the plow and who looks back while he's plowing is not fit for the kingdom of God. God has called us to plow, and plowing is difficult. They didn't have John Deere's back then. You had an ox and a plow. It was tough work. It was hard work. You know, it took perseverance to plow through those fallow fields and that hard ground. And the Lord gives a wonderful picture. Jesus said, if you're plowing and you're looking back, you know, you're persevering, but you turn back and you look, and you're not fit for the kingdom of God. And those anxieties and those fears and those burdens will come. And I'll tell you right now, there's that temptation to look back and say, wow, Egypt looks so much better, doesn't it? Egypt looks way, those leeks and onions, ooh, we had it good. And there's that temptation right there. They're like, let us just leave. Why don't you leave us alone to serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. So what was what I said this morning, Psalm 46, verse 10. I love that verse. It's been such an encouragement to me right now. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Relax. That's a great verse. Be still. And that's what Moses says. Hey, guys, stand still. You know, obviously they're already standing still. They couldn't go anywhere if they wanted to. Hey, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Come on, guys. Don't lack faith already. Gosh, see the mighty hand of God. He killed their firstborn. He brought 10 crazy plagues upon them. He sent frogs and gnats and lice and I'm reading the story to my children. What else did they send, hun? What, boils? Hail? Frogs? What? Flies? Yeah. You know? Turned blood? You know? The Lord's like, you guys forgot about me already? You guys were in complete bondage, and I did all these things to get you guys out of there. He says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? I love that verse. He's saying, Lord, now's not the time to pray, Moses. I said I'm going to deliver you. You need to get up and start going. All right? Why are you crying out to me? I told you I'm going to be with you. Let's get these troops together. Let's rally the people. Let's get them up and let's get ready to go. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. It's time to move forward. Yes, you're anxious. There's burdens. You know what? Cast those things aside. Cast them upon the Lord and move forward. That's the worst thing you can do is to just dwell on those things, those hardships, whatever they are that you're going through in life. I'll tell you right now, you start dwelling on those things, oh, it'll eat you up. Next thing you know, you got canker sores. You know, you got high blood pressure. You got ulcers in your tummy. It's not good. It's like, get up and go forward. Leave those stuffs behind. Verse 16, but lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on what? Dry ground. Dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I indeed will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow me. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his 600 choice chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. I'm in control. I just want to let you guys know that. God is never late. Did you know that? My wife and I were talking about that the other day. We're like, where's the Lord? Longs won't even hire me. What the heck is what's up with that? We were just talking, just like, you know what? The Lord, he's working. And guess what? He's never late. The Lord is always on time. He's always on time. And here he is. He's on time with these guys. It says, verse 19, and the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. He sets up this guard between them and the Egyptians. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. Wow. The Lord is totally protecting them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all that night. Wow, that's great. They couldn't even move. They were dead in their tracks. God just protecting them with this cloud and this the angel of God. That's Jesus Christ right there, guys. That's the Christophanies, the Theophanies right there in the Old Testament. The angel of God leading them, guiding them, protecting them. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. This wasn't like your kids playing in the bathtub now. I mean, this was the real deal. God moved millions, I don't know, billions of cubic feet or yards of water. You know, amazing, unbelievable, the amount of water that God moved here over that night to create this dry land. Verse 22, so the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on the dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. What a picture. You're burdened down. You're anxious right now. It feels like the waters are caving in. Hey, you stay strong. He'll cause you to be on dry ground. Those burdens, those anxieties will just be all around you, but they can't touch you. The Lord will be taking care of you, and you'll stand on dry ground by the promise of God. And it says, verse 23, and the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, and all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And now it came to pass in the morning, watch, that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels, so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. They saw it. They knew it. Guys, we made a big mistake coming out here. We made a big mistake messing with the children of God. We see, I can see the children of Israel just like, oh my goodness, praise the Lord. And that's what I don't get here. God showed up so abundantly, magnificently in their lives, but they would wander for 40 years. We're no different than the children of Israel. Gosh, I'm the same way. God does so many miracles in my life. He provides, and I'm so, I lack so much faith at times, you know. And I just want to come to that place where I'm like, Lord, I'm actually getting there. I'm not too burdened. I'm trusting the Lord because he has to keep his word, doesn't he? If God doesn't keep his word, what is he? A liar. And can God lie? Nope. God cannot lie. Well, God is fighting for them. Verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians, on their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and to their left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Just the evidence that was left behind. God said, I worked for you, didn't you? Didn't I? Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Were those some anxious times there, guys? Yeah, they were. But the Lord came through for them. He really did. He kept his promise to them. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. I don't know what your Red Sea is right now, or what your Egyptian army is that you're facing right now in your life. I don't know what it is. But don't worry. Don't worry. Worry is of the enemy. Like I said, worry will just make you sick. Jesus said, don't worry. This is some of my favorite verses right here, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, coming from the words of Jesus. He says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Honestly, how many times do we think about these things right here? What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, and how we dress. At least 5 times a day. At least 3 times a day, because there's 3 square meals a day, usually breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, what am I going to eat today? You know, it's always on my mind. What am I going to wear? What are my kids going to eat? How am I going to dress them? What's going to happen in my life? The Lord said, don't worry about those things. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Come on, life is more than that. You start worrying about those things and constantly consumed with those things in life, you know what's going to happen? Your life just passes you by, doesn't it? Next thing you know, you're 70 years old. Like, wow, I just done a lot of worrying about nothing. And now I'm 70, and now I need to really worry because I'm about to drop dead. My body's really hurting. While you're young, you're active, and you've got vitality, hey, don't worry about that stuff. And live for the Lord. And Jesus is like, don't worry about that stuff. He says, verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? I love checking out the pigeons in Waikiki. We'll go down to Waikiki with our kids, and I'll just check out the pigeons. They love them. Those pigeons are so well fed. It just reminds me of what Jesus says here. Those pigeons eat really good. Really good. I mean, we feed them rice cakes. We feed them organic Costco bread. And just think of what else they're eating, you know, Burger King, Flamboro Whoppers. Gosh, you think they're worrying? Those pigeons have no cares in the world. I watch them. Their heads are just going boop, 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 boop. Walking around in Waikiki, just flying. Ooh, all right, where's my next meal? Oh, there it is right there. Tourist pet throwing some stuff out. The Lord's like, you guys are more important than birds. I take care of the birds, you know. They don't gather into barns. He says, are you not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, verse 27, can add one cubit to his stature? How long is a cubit? I think a cubit is like an arm length, somewhere around there. And Jesus is saying, when you worry, can you add a cubit to your stature? Have you ever grown from worrying? No. I've never seen it done. Maybe on Ripley's Believe It or Not or something like that. But I've never seen it done. I've never seen someone grow an inch from worrying. Okay, the Lord's like, it's not productive. It does nothing to worry about your bank account. It does nothing to worry about your meals. It does nothing to worry about what I'm going to wear. None of that can help you grow. It won't get anything done. Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. You know, you look at the lilies of the field, the beautiful flowers. Amazing. I love roses. The Bible school, we had just unbelievable roses. You weren't allowed to pick them. I broke the rules a few times for my wife-to-be back in the day, bringing her a beautiful rose or two. But you check out those roses, the lilies. Unbelievable. Just how they're how God has made them. You know? But they neither toil nor spin. They just grow. They just grow. And guess what? They die. They die a few days later. They're gone. And they're arrayed with so much beauty, more than the glory of Solomon. And the Lord says, verse 30, it says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, which means the sun comes up and takes care of it, kills it, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? Lord's like, I got it handled. I'm going to clothe you. If I clothe the lilies of the field and the roses, I am going to take care of you. God hooked us up at the Goodwill the other day. Man, I found some sweet shoes, some nice slacks, nice shirt. And I was looking good when I went into Nordstrom for my interview. I looked good. Cost me $20. Yeah. Shoot, that's all I need. The Lord is like, I'm going to hook you up. $20, that's all I spent. Those were at least, what, Hunt? $7,500 probably worth of clothes. Man, God hooked me up. He took care of us, you know. The Lord, he keeps his promise. Therefore, do not worry. Verse 31, sing, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek, basically unbelievers. Jesus is saying, that's what the unbelievers worry about, okay? You guys believe. You're my children. Why are you guys worrying? The Gentiles seek after those things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Love that. Seek first. Keep seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Lord says, all these things shall be added unto you. Quick encouragement. I got two cards today for being a pastor from people in the congregation. There was money in them. Sweet. God hooked me up. You know, he provided through some people in the church. Praise God. Had no idea. The Lord takes care of his kids. Last couple of verses, Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 6. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Paul here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Great verse to memorize. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Paul knew that. You know where he wrote this epistle from? He was in jail in Rome, okay? And he writes this epistle. You talk about a man who should have been anxious, who was burdened down. He was awaiting, you know, trial and possible execution there during his first imprisonment. Fortunately, the Lord released him there, but he had so much burden and anxiety, I guarantee you. But he writes this epistle here, which is all about joy, the Philippians, the epistle to the Philippians. And he says, be anxious for nothing, guys. There's nothing to be anxious for. If there's one person that should be anxious, it should be me. Have you guys seen what I'm going through right now? But he says, be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's where Satan wants to attack your heart and your mind. He wants to throw anxiety into your heart. He wants to throw doubts into your mind. And that's why he would write in the next verse, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, what does it say? Meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. He says, meditate on these things. He says, I know Satan's going to come and attack you. He's going to come and attack you in your mind and in your heart with these anxieties and burdens. Well, he says, you guys, I want you to meditate on those things that are pure and of good report, and those things that are noble, and those things that are true. Meditate on Jesus. That's what he's saying. Meditate on the Lord. And as you do that, those things will just go by the wayside. That's why I love coming to church. When I am down, when I'm not feeling good, when things are nuts, when I'm anxious, when I'm burdened, I love coming to church. I love teaching the Bible because right now those things are so far gone. I'm not even thinking about them. God is so just pouring into me right now through his verses. Meditate on these things. Meditate on my word, he would say. One last verse. 1 Peter. And we'll finish here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Well, let's start in verse 5. Peter writes, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. I love fishing. I got good at casting. There's nothing better than taking a nice peely lure and casting that puppy, you know, 50 yards and just bringing that thing in and hopefully hooking up. Well, it's the same thing. You take all those cares and anxieties and you just put them on a hook and you just cast them. You just cast them right upon the Lord. And he'll take it. He'll take the bait. He'll take it all. He'll take it all. He'll take all your cares, your anxieties, your stress, your worry. He will take it. We just have to keep God's word, and our responsibility is just to cast everything upon him. My burden is light, my yoke is easy, Jesus said. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, he would say. My burden is light. Lord, we thank you for tonight, God. You are so good. May we be anxious for nothing. May we learn to be content, as Paul would say. He learned contentment, Lord. Paul said, godliness with contentment is great gain, Father. And tonight, we just want to cast all our anxieties and our cares upon you. Or maybe we are backed up to the Red Sea right now, Lord. The Egyptians are coming, Lord. Pharaoh is coming with his chariots. Lord, show up, God, on our behalf. We know you will. We trust in you. You are that pillar by night, Lord, and that cloud by day. We just cast everything upon you tonight. We love you. We praise you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.